pot. If you got good bait, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing. Baby going fishing.
Well, I don't know who's going fishing, but I know who's been fishing. Leaf is here. Hey, Leaf.
Hey, man. How you doing, Depp?
And you have been fishing.
Oh, I'm always trying to find a way to go fishing.
I see you're kind of suited up. I guess you've been with your fishy buddies.
Yeah,
today.
Mostly just been in the fish husbandry, as they would say, I suppose.
Fish husbandry, yeah.
Had a chance to get out with a few good buddies of mine from the Fly Club just yesterday. It was pretty slow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's kind of like that sometimes right now. We do have some of these still water bodies here in the valley and other places.
Lakes.
Yeah, lakes that are still, they're still fishing, and they still are open free of ice, which is kind of the determiner, really. But it's kind of just, as I noticed yesterday, a very short window sometimes, and you really got to take it when you can get it. Yesterday, for example, was maybe an hour-long hatch of midges, chronomids, different sizes. And it only, we probably caught the last 15, 20 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that led to a real slow day with the water being that cold. They'll kind of just go after whatever bug is, attracting them. And then they'll kind of just lay low and go back to just chilling out.
It's kind of surprising that there's anything hatching when it's cold. But there are things.
Those midges, there's one for every month of the year.
Yeah.
And, some of them thrive on the other end of the season. Some of those bugs, the midwinter is their midsummer. Mm-hmm. Basically, they've adapted to just being where that's when they really want to be out there.
It's kind of interesting,
their
isn't
life
it?
Cycle.
I mean, just to see what Mother Nature provides for food.
Those adaptations are very interesting. But, went down to Roses just last week. It's a lake that's down just above Manson.
Okay.
I love that cluster of lakes right there. There's Wapato, Roses, Dry, and then up on the hill just not far above there. Kind of looking back at the south part of the valley at South Navarre, Gold Creek, if you're looking north from there, is Antelon Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Antelon, working the way back down, is just brown trout, which is cool. One of those only brown trout lakes. We've talked about it just briefly in the past. And it's also got a few crappie in there. Pretty good size, too. So that kind of, you never know. You might get a few of those, and you might feel okay about taking a few of them home for the fry. But on your way back down, you got Wapato, which held the state record at one point for largemouth bass. Always a great bass show. But also really fun for trout. Mostly rainbow, as far as I know, although there may be some of the others in there, as well as definitely some of the other spiny rays, perch, and crappie. Roses is just really a lot of fun. I'm kind of skipping Dry because it's so small. You might forget about it. It's right between those lakes. But it's super cool because it's got like brooks, browns, and maybe tigers. It's got like red ear sunfish, crappie, bluegill, perch, bass. That thing is the total grab bag. And they could still be pretty good size because there's a lot of food in that little lake. kind of pounding a lot of structure cattails in that one.
Okay.
And Roses is kind of like one that reminds me of a big, big twin. Round kind of bucket. Got a lot of cattails around it. And so that provides some really good structure to work when it comes to some of the fish in there, which could be anything from just rainbows to, at one point, a state record tiger trout came out of there at 17.5 pounds.
Jeez.
Great size brown trout, for that matter, too. Perch, bass, crappie, bluegill, and I've even heard of catfish in that one.
And that's where you went?
Yeah, that's where I went, was to Roses, just because I would really love to have gotten to catch up with some of those big tigers or browns. Not super interested in the rainbows all the time, although that one is planted with numbers to kind of really excite kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of fun. They might not be huge, but you'll definitely catch them if you're fishing for them.
Okay, well, how'd it go with you?
Oddly enough, I caught no tiger trout and brown trout. I guess it's not crazy, but the odd thing was I caught a bunch of bass, really nice bass, and it was like, the end of November, totally not the time you'd be thinking for bass.
Yeah.
The way they started hitting for me, I thought they were just some of the smaller spiny rays. And taking time and getting the hook set right, I got onto one that was probably at least 3 or 4 pounds that started towing me around in my little boat, and ended up getting 6 or 8 of them that were, pretty close to on par with that one. And
were they just hungry?
You know, yeah, it was probably that, like, they knew that the lake was going to freeze. It still wasn't super duper cold yet, and they had the ability to do one last feeding, and I was using some kind of smaller finesse stuff in a balanced leech. And it seemed to just kind of tickle their fancy. And I also found a dock there that it was super fun. Something I think you may have liked was I got into some crappie underneath one of the docks as I was fishing it. And, man, those things are averaging at least 9 or 10 inches, which is about what they top out at a lot of the time, and up to 12 and 13. And I probably caught 14 or 15 of them in about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, and could have sat there and caught them all day, I'm sure.
There were crappie in the lake when I was a kid. There's a lake that we would always walk over to, and they would make a really nice fish fry.
Yeah.
Man,
I
love them.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, they're a great fight, and you know they produce in numbers that you don't have to feel bad at all about taking a pile of them for a fish fry. In fact, you might just make them bigger and give them more feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was just, it was a lot of fun. Not what I expected, but came away, you know, totally satisfied after that one. And, you know, got out to Omak Lake. Sarah taught her husband, Glenn, and I how to catch fish. we watched her do that for a while one day, and it was just, like I've said before, they're completely monsoonal, or you know, it was just
one of those
it
days.
Was, well, it was actually just blowing. I had hoped it was just going to rain and be mellow and rainy, but it was blowing. So, that was what it was. But it'll be, you know, fishing through the rest of the winter as far as Omak Lake goes, and definitely time to get back out to Rufus with the water cooling back down and getting a consistency going. All the algae gone out of that system now, and hopefully getting to do some white fishing.
I was going to say, we're looking at out the window and it's snowing pretty hard, which to me just says white fishing.
Beautiful white fishing weather. Yeah. If the ground's white, the fish should be too, you know? So, you know, December 1st, that should open.
Yeah.
From what little I've gathered from some of the folks at WDFW, I really don't think it's going to happen without a hitch. So you could be listening to this broadcast well into you know, the first week of December there. Yeah. And so don't just go jumping out there without checking the e-regs. It's right there on the front page of the WDFW site, usually up there on the top right-hand side. You'll see rule and regulation changes or whatever up there. Or you can always key in a search for emergency rule changes.
Well, I'm guessing if you've kind of got wind of it, something's going to happen. Yeah. They're going to constrict the area. Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's quite possible. It could just be a small section, say, you know, most likely from what I'm hearing, Weeman Bridge up, or, you know, could be something else like Foghorn or whatever, but quite possibly just a very, very small portion of the Methow. But, you know, one good thing would be the whole Chewook all the way up to, you know, the wilderness.
Okay.
So that's one bonus. The access, though, on that one is kind of a drawback. The whole, as far as up to, you know, Boulder Creek Bridge there, pretty much all private property. And then from Boulder Creek up, well, then you might need a snowmobile in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the more endeavors of folks,
like you say, check the regs. But that may be happening Friday the 1st, right?
Yes, that's correct. So I was told to just be looking for any special rule changes in the last week of November. We only have a couple days left of that right now. So, anything would be better than nothing, though. So I thank them for at least trying to do something with that.
I love your positive attitude.
Hey, you got to.
Yeah.
Because the winters are long here. And you don't want to go all red rum.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, you know, keep in touch. If you not doing much for booking trips right now, but if you need any fishing tips, just give me a shout there on the old interwebs at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. You can check out the blog or podcast always at flyfishersproshop.com, and you can give me a call the old-fashioned way at 509-429-7298. Keep it between those ditches, I think is what they say. Keep it on the road because it's slick out there. Stay warm. Take care of one another. Happy holidays, whichever one floats your boat, and get that fish right on.
Oh, what you think that brother mine did do? Caught some pound perch on him by the creamy guy. Nah, I took him on the mama, say he's real gone. Come on, his pole and his line. He was gone fishing and my mama's gone fishing and the baby gone fishing too.